Let's find our notes that are entitled Biblical Parenting for the Glory of God, the notes on discipline. We're talking about raising children, biblical parenting for the glory of God, and I've been asked to speak in this hour on one slice of the pie, and it's the discipline part of parenting. I'd like to begin our discussion by just talking for a moment about the challenges of parenting in today's culture. And I would direct your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want us to look at the first five verses and think about some of the challenges to parenting today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 starts by saying, "Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." Now, how many of you think we might be living in the last days? All right, a whole bunch of you. And even if you did not raise your hand, you'd have to admit, wouldn't you, that we're at least 2,000 years closer to the last days than when Paul wrote this. And in the verses that follow, he describes what I would call last days culture. And I want you to think about the challenge of trying to raise godly children in last days culture. That's the challenge before parents today. Look again at the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. "Realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." Here's how I would describe the challenge of parenting today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 has just described culture. In my mind, culture is, let's say it's like a river and it's going in this direction. The challenge with biblical parenting today is you're trying to raise children who are going to go in this direction. You're trying to raise children that are countercultural, and you are countercultural in your approach to this. And if all you do is focus on 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, or if all you do is read the newspaper or pay attention to the popular media, you can get pretty discouraged. In fact, there are some Christians who, understanding these verses and thinking about what's happening in our culture, there are some couples who have determined that it's unloving to bring a child into the world, into this kind of a culture. I personally don't endorse that thinking, but that is how some view this. Well, it's interesting to me that they're in the same chapter, there's some very distinct encouragement for parents. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and notice verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Notice particularly verses 14 and 15. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "But you, however, Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now you're aware, aren't you, that Timothy is one of several notable Bible characters who was raised in a single parent home. And Paul's advice to him was, remember what your mama and your grandmother taught you from the scriptures. And immediately after that, we have these famous verses that many of us have memorized, verses 16 and 17, which says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that the parent of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, including raising children in the last days." So there is great hope for those of you that are parenting, and there is great hope for those of you that are not yet married that hope someday to be parents. In my mind, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is the single most important verse in the New Testament on the subject of parenting. And you may want to turn there. That's going to be kind of my primary text for the time that I'm speaking with you. While you're turning there, let me just give a personal testimony. In the good grace of God, my wife Cindy and I had the privilege, after we were married, of being in a church that had a regular, what they called family month, once a year, where they devoted teaching from the scriptures on the role of the husband, role of the wife, marriage, parenting, and so forth. And so we received some very good teaching on parenting before we ever had children. That was very, very beneficial to us. And of course, after our children started coming along, we had a lot to learn. And but I look back and I am so thankful for the principles that we were taught before we ever had children. And I'm so thrilled as I look out over the audience and see a number of young people here. And undoubtedly, a number of you are not married or are not parents yet. And I'm just thrilled to think that maybe I could have a little bit of a role in your life or the other speakers this afternoon as we're talking on parenting, much like Cindy and I were influenced in so many years ago. God blessed our marriage with two children, Jim and Becky. And they both chose, we pointed them toward Christ in a life of biblical obedience. And by God's grace, over the years, they repented of their sin and sinfulness. And they trusted Christ and chose Christ in a life of obedience. And then God helped them in marrying godly believers. And God has blessed their families. And so my wife and I now found ourselves at that wonderful phase of life where we have the privilege of influencing six grandchildren. And we are loving this phase of life. And I just want you to know that I cannot teach on the subject of parenting without pausing to thank God for the clear principles in His Word, which have been so beneficial to us, which I see now being so beneficial to my children and benefiting my grandchildren. And I love teaching on parenting because there is, in America today, have you noticed? Our families are in trouble. Our kids, in many cases, are a mess. And families are a disaster. And yet, I want you to know that the Scriptures have answers in this area. And there's so much good in this regard. Well, with that bit of an introduction, let me talk with you about, from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Scripture says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." So I've been asked to speak on that part, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, the word translated discipline is the Greek word paideia. And the phrase, the discipline of the Lord, the paideia of the Lord, this phrase refers to the upbringing, the training, the instruction of a child, particularly as it is attained by action, discipline, and correction. What I'd want you to remember is this. When the Bible says bring the child up in the discipline of the Lord, the word paideia particularly means teaching by act. It means teaching by action. One of my instructors years ago used to say that paideia is teaching with some kick in it. All right? But it's primarily teaching by act. Later when we come to one of your studies will be on the instruction of the Lord. That's the Greek word nuthesia or nutheteo, and that means teaching by word primarily. But this, what we're focusing on in this hour, is primarily teaching by act. Now, it involves providing boundaries for a child and then penalties for going beyond the boundaries. It involves providing boundaries for a child and penalties for going beyond the boundaries. The goals are character development and equipping the child for life in a world full of boundaries. All right, let's pretend that down here is where a child is born. What I want you to think about is this. When you're holding a brand new infant, what do you have in your arms? Well, some would say, you know, a precious new life. Maybe the parents would say, hope realized, lots of potential. Grandparents would say, an exciting new addition to the family and so forth. Maybe the dad would say, lots of bills. What I want you to think about is this. When you're holding a precious new life, a new infant, what I want you to think about is you have a person that's precious to God, we hope, and going to be precious to the parents, but you have a child that is a sinner by nature, and it won't take very long before they start showing they're a sinner by choice, too. What else I want you to notice is, at this point, this child is totally self-centered. And they are totally dependent on other people to minister to them. Now, they can pump their own blood, breathe their own air. But basically, apart from that, they've got to have someone feed them, change their diaper, burp them, change their clothing, bathe them. I mean, they're dependent on everybody else, right? And they're totally self-centered. That's why they could have been well-fed, loved on, kissed on. They're in a warm sleeping outfit in a nice bed, perfectly controlled town, every human need met, and they'll scream in anger. All right? Just something's bugging them, whatever it might be. Now, look at me. Here's what the Bible is saying is the goal of parenting. In Ephesians 6:4, when it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up," that first